Welcome to The Cat Lady, the show where people opine about felines. I'm Lana, the Cat Lady, and each episode I invite a person I think is awesome to react about cats. Cat lover, cat hater, or cat agnostic. I'm curious what makes them tick.
If you're a cat hater, this is the episode for you. According to Noel, cats are sociopathic narcissists with irredeemably evil intentions, although she does admit that it was a dog who killed her parakeet. Buckle up.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about cats.
Cats. I hate cats.
What started it all?
Let's see. I don't know if my first memory of a cat is particularly significant. I just tried to think back as early as possible to a memory that involved a cat, though it will sound more significant than it is. But I think my first memory of a cat, my first cat-related memory was probably when I was seven. I was seven. And my mom had had a severe reaction to medication, and the ambulance had to come and take her. And of course, my dad went with her. So a woman from our church had picked my brothers and I up and brought us to their house for the night while my mom was at the hospital. And I remember sleeping in her daughter's room. And she had just gotten a kitten. And I just remember feeling the kitten's claws on me in the middle of the night when you aren't usually awake as a seven-year-old. But I was awake that night because everything was very uncertain. And I just remember like the soft, like little kitten bones and the scratchiness of the little baby cat claws.
That does seem like a bad start with cats. I gotta be honest, Noelle.
Yeah, but it sounds like more like if I was psychologically like analyzing that, like that there's more to it than that. That, you know, like negative association, and I was even thinking through like how I could like take a tactile theme approach to like the contrast between like the things I can remember touching and feeling earlier that night to the feeling of the cat claws in the middle of the night, but I don't think it actually is that significant to why I hate cats.
So why do you hate cats? Do you even know?
I think so. I think about them all the time because they're so sociopathic. They're narcissists. it's like everything that fascinates us about other people, but at the same time makes someone so destructive. And I think that's reflected in the cat.
Like and, cats, you're thinking about this all the time.
Yes, because of the cat, that barn cat, Coco, and Annie would follow her everywhere. Annie, my daughter Annie. And the cat never cared about Annie in this nurturing sense, but she was curious about Annie, so she would goad her to see how far she would go with no care really to if Annie were to get hurt. Like following her, there was no like protective element. It was just, if I jump this fence, will the human child jump it too? If I climb this tree, will the human child do it too? And then sometimes the cat would come over for me to pet her. Then she would leave and leave me a dead mouse, which I guess was in her mind a gesture of relationship. But I just don't know how to take it that way. And also the fact that this cat lived on a street full of a lot of other cats. And this cat felt that she owned so much more land than she needed to hunt on, and no other cat was allowed. And she would get so angry at all the other cats. So I kept thinking, because of the selfishness of this cat, the other cats are probably starving because she hogs all the field mice that she doesn't even eat. She just leaves them on your doorstep. So I can't see what moral benefit a cat brings to society, other than killing mice. But what they represent is they're such self-involved little narcissists, seductive, but they don't actually have anything to give you.
I'm a little bit speechless.
It's an incredibly literary description. You're making me both terrified, but also kind of impressed with cats. I don't know if that's what you're going for.
I think in this, the way that evil is very attractive to us sometimes, it's why they can make whole movies, like superhero movies, about the villain, like the origin story of the villain, because there's something we find very fascinating about the twisted evil mind.
It's true.
In the end, what does it leave you? But death and decay.
Can you fill our listeners in? Where have you lived? Have you been in rural areas, urban areas? Where have you encountered cats?
Well, yes, rural areas. And trying to think if my time in urban areas involved a lot of cats. Well, there'd be my sister-in-law's cat, who is now an urban cat, and is just a fat, overprivileged ball of fur that lurks the streets of Brooklyn. And then there was Coco, the barn cat, and then there were the cats that liked to hang out at our previous house, which was rural, that were all very well-fed cats with collars and very clean, but they really liked our compost pile, so they were always stalking the perimeters of our property.
Have you tried to build relationships with other animals?
I like dogs. I like dogs a lot, but I don't like dogs that leave. Well, I don't like in the sense of a preference, not in terms of the species itself. I don't particularly like dog hair in the house, but I admire the dog.
Can you give a catalog of the different animals?
I had a bird. I had a bird as a child that I will say was killed by a dog. That dog, I don't have a high regard for. That dog was really insane. But the bird also wasn't the nicest bird. The bird was a disappointment to me. I wanted a parrot, but it was only a parakeet. I think parrot was probably out of the price range of what my parents were willing to buy their 8-year-old, who didn't really like take care of things particularly well. So I got a parakeet. And I didn't take care of the bird very well. I definitely would forget to feed the bird. But the bird was also very self-involved. I got the bird a mirror, and that was, I think it was a him. This is really something I'll never know, whether it was a him or a her. But I loved the bird. I named him or her Paul E. Not Polly. I was very adamant that it was Paul E. And I insisted on that from everyone, Paul E. But that poor bird, while traipsing around on the floor of our living room, our really sheepish cockapoo, Sam, stepped on the tail feathers, and the bird tried to run away, and it pulled the tail feathers out. And parakeets aren't the most impressive looking bird to begin with, but if you take the tail feathers off, like, it's just really like... It's just half the bird. Half the bird was gone. So. Poor Paul E. And then Paul E. Life eventually ended at my grandmother's house when my aunt was visiting with her Jack Russell Terrier named Sandy, who'd been after the bird for a while. I went to my friend Mary Frediani's house, came back. Sandy had ripped the cage apart. I saw feathers floating in the air. I screamed. Ran downstairs. My brother came and found the mangled bird under the bed. It was a very sad day.
And yet the iron of your heart has been set against cats.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't say set against them. I've just been analyzing them as, to try to figure out the motivation. For instance, Coco, this farm cat. We were outside with Annie once, and it was about to rain, and I think maybe there was a bolt of lightning or thunder, whatever comes in bolts, or a loud crash of rain. Something loud happened, and a nest of bird eggs fell from the barn. Not bird eggs, sorry, baby birds. And the baby birds, like, went everywhere, and Coco, this cat, was like lurking around the perimeter, just goes in to gratuitously kill one of the baby birds. Doesn't even eat it. It's not even for food or stuff, just to kill it, just for sport. Lurks away, lurks around the baby birds while the mother bird is frantically trying to save her babies. So I don't know what level of depravity to put their gratuitous killing of baby birds as their mother tries to save them, but I can't think of a different motivation for Coco the farm cat than that.
What kind of literature did you read as a child, Noelle, that informed your view of animals? They have very strong personalities to you.
Ah, they do. You know, ironically, I think a lot of the books I read, it would have been more likely that the heroine had a pet cat than they did a dog. Because it was always like those loner girls, you know, who like to ride or something like that. So they have a cat.
Right.
But the cat only reflects like their own relationship to the world, both like a part of it, but not a part of it. And I had a dog and he was a wonderful dog. His name was Bubba. He just died last year. He lived to be almost 17 years old, which is quite unusual for his breed. He just sort of kept going. But Bubba was the best thing in the world. When I had no friends for a long period of time, he would just sit with me. I'd come home from school and he'd come into my room with me. He'd do my homework with me. He'd do puzzles with me in the summer when I didn't have anything cooler to do than a puzzle.
All been there, Noelle. The world, let's be honest, in the middle of a pandemic right now, the whole world is just doing puzzles. You are the coolest.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, right. And he just sat with me the whole time. He would lay with me when I was sick. He would recognize my voice over the phone. He would follow me around. He was just the most loyal, constant companion a girl could ask for.
I'm sorry he died.
It was time. When a dog lives to be 17, they have things going on in their body. Things they can no longer control or keep inside of it.
Do you know anyone who loves cats as fiercely as you hate them?
Probably, but I think their love of the cat only reflects their misplaced values on what relationships are supposed to be. I think for those who admire the cat, they admire the independence, they admire the lack of need for other people. In essence, like everything we critique about being American, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. A cat would pull itself up by its bootstraps. A cat would be a happy, fat little capitalist who mooches off all the other people. A dog, however, would not. There are no police cats, you know, there's no like cats that like save people from the fire. There's no fire cats, there's fire dogs. There's police dogs. There are seeing eye dogs. There's no seeing eye cats. Like, it's like a joke, you know, like you could do a whole stand-up comedy sketch around the idea of a seeing eye cat or a therapy cat.
You know, I usually ask my guests if they're trying to convince someone to get a cat or perhaps to caution a cat.
The cat is the ultimate utilitarian pragmatist. Frogs and turtles, all of them, they're cool. They've all got their merits, even the poisonous ones. I mean, we all did over COVID watch Tiger King, which These are all just like large cats. And I mean, I think we have to admit, like, large cat, like you don't really have a parallel in dog people for what we saw in Tiger King. Mm-hmm. Like cat people, like serious cat people are weird. And those are long-standing stereotypes in literature, in media, the crazy cat lady. There's some parallel between the loss of one's mental faculty and having a lot of cat.
Okay, but just because there's a literary stereotype about mental faculty and cats, Noelle. I mean, let's have the gumption to take on a stereotype for just a second.
I mean, if literature sets a standard, you have books like Call of the Wild or other book like The Incredible Journey, where there is a cat character, but really who leads the crowd? The Golden Retriever, which is like really representative of the best of us, right?
I don't know.
But there's a reason cats are always the villain in animal movies. Like, find me an animal movie where cats are the protagonist.
Okay, so at this point, I seriously doubt that you would be at a cat conference, but if you were at a cat conference, how would you introduce yourself?
As the distressful bystander there to investigate the underbelly crime world of such a conference.